Let's see. You were a, quote, kicker kid. You were outside the bubble. You were a hippie before that. You are the elephant in the room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But is there anything that, like, at this moment in time, you really want someone to know about you that if we were just hanging out and having a conversation and not doing this, you'd actually tell them?
That, I think, is a hard question to say. But the thing is, I'm always in the moment, so...
Could be perceived, that's like, you said this before, and now you say this, and it's like, that's because we change all the time. That's something I really want to represent in my genre of, like, how I choose to make my music and how I choose to be as an artist. It's like a diverse, you know, constantly changing person. Because actually, if I would try to do anything else, it would feel like I was lying. It's very hard. Like, yeah, but I made it my strongest weapon, though, because it's like I'm throwing it in the face. Like, I'm even sometimes exaggerating my bad truth a little bit just to make sure that my back is free. You know, no one can really touch me with their criticism and with their ideas, because why they can't, because I'm so new to this. I'm so free in this. I'm like a kindergarten baby in this. Like, I don't care what you think. I'm still happy about my performance and what I have done, you know? So everybody, like, all this, it's very crazy with people working with criticism and, like, writing all these articles and think that their words are, like, the mighty words of what's real and what's not. And, like, as soon as I start reading something like that, I just realize how they look at me. They look at me as a musician. They look at me as trying to compare me to other musicians. They're doing something that from the base is wrong, so they can actually never touch me. You know, I always feel like, okay, yeah, I should probably take some of this criticism to me, but then I feel like, no, I shouldn't, because they work on me wrongly, because it's not me that they talk about from the beginning. They don't.
No, they're basically talking about themselves.
Yeah, yeah, or their idea of who I am, you know?
Right. Rather than asking, which is kind of a good idea instead, right?
Mm, yeah.
What a concept, to actually write about somebody and try to learn about them.
I mean, people are very obsessed with perfection. They want, you know, shows to be perfect. They want, you know, the answers to be perfect, the songs to have a good point. They want so much out of a person, but, I mean, for me, everything is about this perfection. Like, for me, everything is about, as soon as something gets too perfect, I'm there to, like, fuck it up, you know? I'm not there at all to be perfect. I'm there to be wrong.
I'm going to throw a funny quote at you, and then we're going to have some fun with it. I was a man in my previous life.
People are taking up the whole, because I did some kissing with men in the last video, and, like, people are really talking about the whole gay community, a lot of gay papers and gay people, like...
You're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, they think it's interesting, but for me, I grew up with two gay guys. For me, it was a very natural thing from the beginning. For me, I don't like labels. I don't have favorites. I don't have idols. That's just the way my mind is set. And when it comes to sexuality, I'm the same. I don't really look at age or sex for my attraction. You know, it can be what it is. And yeah, but also, like, I really had so many outside of body experience where I also see myself as a man, which I feel could probably. I'm obviously a person that believe in past lives and energies and soul and stuff, and it feels like it was pretty close in time where I was actually had a dick and stuff, you know. And then if you want to label that as not a human but a man, you know, it's up to everybody. But I love that you see that.
The Crying Game was my favorite movie.
I mean, you know. Yeah, but it was really, I don't know, I just feel very connected to men. I always had so much easier to relax around men, especially, and now also it's been so clear since that whole lesbian thing, that this, you know, when all these lesbian girls comes up to me, I am so nervous with them. Like, I get so shy. Like, feels like I'm 12 years old, and I have the first experience of, like, a boy flirting with me or something. I feel very, very, like, I'm trying to keep my face cool, but I can't. But yeah. I can't really do it. So it's something very intense going between me and women. I have very I have much love, much respect, more respect than I think I have for anything else. I have respect for women, but I also, yeah, like you said, I'm
romantic just, thing, they make you nervous.
Yeah, they do. They even friends make me more nervous. I'm more nervous about like fucking up a friendship with a girl than I'm fucking up a relationship with a boy, always. Yes. To sum it up, it's like what you said before, it's something I really stand up for. I don't want to be a, you know, I don't want to be a lesbian, I don't want to be a gay person. I don't want to be anything that you can put a brand on, label. I just want to be me, you know?
Let's blow some things up. Speaking of blowing some things up, let's blow up genres. Because one of the things that I know about you is, and I know about this, pop music. I like provocative pop. I think that's good because you are definitely provocative in every way, shape, or form.
The only reason why I even called myself a pop artist is because my what I thought was pop is exactly what I'm doing. It's a mishmash of other genres that was created, yeah, maybe like you say, in the 80s or in the 70s or whatever, that way you couldn't really say rock anymore. You couldn't really say hip hop, you didn't know what to say, so you said pop. But now pop is a genre, you know? It kind of morphed into that. It's hard to like take that word back. This is so interesting to me, this new world, you know? I had no clue I was gonna be in this. If someone said this to me 5 years ago, that this would happen to me today, I wouldn't believe it. So what's going on right now is that I'm actually learning something, and I'm very humble in that. I'm absolutely an amateur in everything I do when it comes to music and all these fashion show fashions and photo shoots, all this. I'm an amateur. I'm just trying to learn. And I really look at this as a future thing for me, where I could go in and actually help artists to like write amazing pop songs and be in that sense as a work, you know. But as an artist, I think no, that won't happen. It's not interesting for me. But I want to work with it, but from the other way around in the future. I hope that
these collaborations you've had with Charlie, with Mo, all the collaborations you've had is probably a result of your openness to whatever they bring to the party.
I think Mo Elephant is a very natural collaboration. What was more complicated for me is like maybe Skrillex, for example.
Well,
that was more like, because it's really a fan base.
You're walking into his thing.
Yeah, I'm walking straight into his thing. But he reached out to me from the beginning. And what you're saying here is very, very true. And I would really like to talk about that for a moment. It's that everybody should know that there is magic in the world. And if you are open in your heart, and if you're not complicating things with money talk, genre talk, ideas of who you want to be as an artist, I respect that in a way, people that is going their own way 100%. But I also have to say that I don't believe in it as much as I believe in an open person. I don't want to be a racist in any way. I'm not going to be a racist in music either. I'm always going to be open. And like, I did a song with, what's his name? No Money, No Love. I did a song with, he's like the biggest French DJ. Like, all these guys is actually new to me. Like, I have no idea who these people were 4 years ago.
That's so cool, because you're walking in with an open heart, an open mind,
yeah.
And again,
Luke. I mean, Dr. Luke signed me. I work with him all the time. Like, he writes all the songs for Katy Perry. And I mean, I never listened to Katy Perry in my entire life, but I respect people that knows, and there's always something amazing coming out of it. And I only work with music lovers, and no one ever stopped me, you know? I just look at this as my big superpower as an artist, that I never had a dream of music, that music could just come like a wave and like drown me, and I didn't have to like sail it somehow. I could like really just get into it and be in it, and that turned out to be a very diverse, cool project. That's why I call myself a provocative pop artist, because I work with very natural collaborations for me, like Diplo and all his people, but I also work with David Guetta or in Skrillex, or and all these people turn into like best fucking friends in the world. Also, this is what I'm also so humble and so happy about, is that I met the most
amazing people doing this journey.
When's the last time someone actually asked you where that turning point is and how this happened? I don't even remember. People are so busy talking about your fashion and your makeup and your this and your that. Where was that turning point? Where was that moment? Because you're just casually, the names you're naming, 90% of the world doesn't get anywhere near them.
I don't remember that moment as a moment, but the first thing that pops my head now is that I had a show like 1 year into my project in Berlin, and a friend called me like, you really need to activate your Twitter account because you get a lot of, like, Diplo reached out and there's a lot of people reaching out. And I didn't
so I
had to like call around and like, who has, because someone had opened it.
But you didn't even know who had the password.
I didn't even have a phone that could have Twitter on it, you know. I didn't even have an internet bank at that point. Like, seriously, I've been traveling, I've been doing my own thing, I'm paying my bills cash every month. Like, I've been very, very underground my life, you know. So this Elephant has come with the whole technology also, the whole idea of Facebook and Instagram and iPhones and GarageBands. Yeah, it's really took me in every sense, in every way, to a new level in the new world, you know, not only in music. But I remember when that happened, because then I realized we reached a really one thing we were aiming for. And one thing we were aiming for was to be involved with the whole Mad Decent, Major Lazer, you know, wave that was going on. Like, when we started the project, especially me and Tommy Tysper, that still work together a lot, we listened to Major Lazer a lot. He showed me Major Lazer, and like, this is what I want to do. He was the one in the front line signing me to that little label, 10 in Sweden. He was the one like, this is my project. I want to, you know, work with this, because he wanted to do something crazy like that. And it was just recently he was like turning to me like, you do realize that you're on the Major Lazer album now, right? You do realize that we nailed it, and even more, we did it. Like, because it's run so fast also, it's hard to like really stand still and like realize, wow, this was the thing I was so excited when other people did 3 years ago, and now I'm actually I've done it, passed it, over it, and I can't even, you know. Yeah, it's really very, very overwhelming when you stop and think about it. But I think also when Sonny called me one night, Skrillex, or it wasn't a night, it was like midday when I was in Sweden. I'd just been here in America for a couple of weeks doing meetings and stuff, but I never met him. And then when I was lying there, he was just calling and like, Ellie, this is Sonny, Skrillex. I don't know if you know who I am. Like, I really do know who you are, but like, I didn't listen to him at that point so much. But I knew who he was. And that was also, my manager called me like an hour later and like, you know that Skrillex is coming on Monday. He was like just leaving LA and came and visited me and like hang with me for a week. That was really cool to go into the studio with one of these big names in the world. I don't know when is the actual turning point, because it's been like small things. When my manager called me and like, Dr. Luke wanna sign you, that was also like, whoa, this could really be something. This could be huge. Or like, yeah, like, you need to live in America this year. What? Really? I'm gonna live in America? Like, it's so crazy. When I have my 3 years visa in my passport, like, all this stuff is just overwhelming. I also feel like when the stress started coming, like a year ago, yeah, when the first moments of like, I can't remember what I just thought of. I don't know who I am. I don't know how to get out of this stressful place. Yeah. When that came, I also realized I reached a new point. I'm working with this every day. For me, it feels like it was yesterday I met my family. Yesterday, I rented out my apartment. When I go there now, it's like, it's a new place. Someone lives there now. Like, fast. It went fast. Like,
it does. It does.
That is also, and one more thing that is so cool. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but I might as well just say it, because I remember when I started feeling I wanted to make music, that was one of my first moments in my life that I stayed home in Sweden for a longer time, because I met some love and stuff. I never had that before, so I stayed and I started working as a carer for a guy in a wheelchair, and I had for the first time in my life stable income on my account. But what happened was that I felt like I should take a step into the technical world and
take this chance and buy a computer of like, because you can pay a little bit every month if you have a, you know. So that was my first opportunity to buy a computer, because I really wanted to start working on GarageBand, because my friend had a Mac and she showed me how easy it was. And I went there and I was going to buy it. My father was there to like sign papers to like, you know, make sure to them that I was going to pay and all that. And something happened with his paperwork, la la la. He couldn't be that person for me. So they didn't give me the computer. And I remember breaking apart. Like, my friend was working in that same mall and I was just running into her like crying. I didn't know why I was so upset about it. I was like, here I am fucking trying to be a part of the world and I'm doing my best. And now because a fucking signature, I can't buy. You know, I was so sad. And a week later, my boyfriend helped me to do this and he managed to get the computer out in my hands. And I went home and I lost myself in GarageBand for like 6-7 months. The only thing I was doing as soon as I had time was like, sitting there. Was my first, it was almost like learning how to play an instrument, like for the first time in my life, building a song. Like before I could just like, I couldn't even think about music because I don't have any pattern. I didn't know how to build it. But through GarageBand, I could really do it. And I went home to my dad. I was like, yeah, listen to the song I made. I just made like really shitty, weird songs on GarageBand. And when Apple reached out. But when I showed my first stuff to people, it was my GarageBand demos. It was stuff I made there. And if I didn't have that, I could have never shown anybody what I was doing, you know? And it was just a very good instrument for an amateur, willing artist, kind of, you know, it was perfect for me. And
how cool is that that we got that out there?
But for me, it was just like, I called my dad instantly. I'm like, Dad, you remember when I broke down when we were going to buy the computer? You remember? Like, here it happens. Now I'm going to do a big ad for GarageBand. Like, it's really happening now. Like, it comes together somehow.
That's amazing.
And that was a big, you know, turning point. That was also like a realization, you know, you really understand. The thing with me, obviously I want to have money because I want to be free, you know.
Money helps.
Money helps. It would be lovely to at some point in my life buy a nice house for me that me and my family can spend time and all that stuff. Obviously, I'm not Jesus. Like, I really want stuff. But what I really, really want is to like use this opportunity to do good things, you know. Like now I'm planning on doing like a little, you know, yard sale and like do haircuts for like people on the streets in LA, like for free. And like, I'm trying to, because for me, like if I'm just Ellie, no one's gonna like jump on it, you know. But with Elephant in the back, people are like, fuck yeah, we can get something out of this. Because humans are greedy, you know. So I can use Elephant to really make good, cool charity in the world and do something cool. Because that's the, you know, to get money, everybody can do that. You just gotta work fucking hard and you can get money. But to get the chance and opportunity to do something good, like really do something good and change the world, is like the biggest luxury of a human's life. There's like not many people in the world that get the chance to do that.
So what I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you have total freedom